We count ourselves most blessed to be able to come together with you around the dear Word of God provided to us even in this late day and age, in these perilous times, by the Holy Spirit, to be able to have God open unto us the Scriptures and open our hearts to the Scriptures. He said, did not our hearts burn within us while He opened unto us the Scriptures by the way? God is so good to do that. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the book of John, chapter 16. We're going to begin reading with verse number 7, but our lesson title is out of verse number 14. He shall glorify me. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify, he shall honor and magnify me, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see what those words mean. Hold for us to be able to encourage us in the things of the Lord in this day and age. The book of John, chapter 16, we'll begin reading with verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. I'm so thankful that these things were written down and preserved for thousands of years that we can be able to stand here and read them out loud in our own presence today. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, absolutely essential for you that I go away. Isn't that something? Even in his going away, he wasn't saying, boy, I sure am glad I'm getting out of here. I'm so tired of being abused and misused here on earth. And he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Even his going away back to the Father was, as far as he was concerned, was for the benefit of his people. I like that verse that says, he loved his own even unto the end. And this shows that he had love for us. It is expedient for you that I go away. Why? For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I'm not just looking forward to departing as far as just exclusively getting back to my Father and say, I'm glad that's over with. I'm glad I'm back here with my Father. He said, if I depart, I intend to send the Holy Spirit to you. I've got something that I want to do when I get there. And when he is come, when the Holy Spirit has come. Now listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to describe to us the work of the Holy Spirit to show that it is the Holy Spirit. We've got all kinds of lies, all kinds of false doctrines as to how we know the Holy Spirit has come. Well, you'll be able to speak in tongues. That's so far away from God, it don't even bear commenting on. Listen, here's what Jesus said will be the evidence of the Holy Spirit. When he is come, he will, number one, reprove or convince the world of sin. He shall convince the world of sin. And again, in our verse 14, he will glorify me. It was sin that caused us to lose the glory. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to be able to recover the glory. Isn't that good? He shall glorify me. But how shall he do it? Number one, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Number two, and of righteousness. And number three, of judgment. What does he mean by all of this? Well, he then goes back and takes up each one of these things and tells you what he's talking about. He shall reprove the world of sin, verse 9, because they believe not on me. The sin that will send every soul into hell is unbelief. Unbelief in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So the Holy Spirit will come and glorify Christ and show you, number one, your sin, therefore your need of him. And number two, his capability of dealing with your sin. That's how he's going to glorify me. He shall glorify me. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. What has sin to do with? Well, I stole a candy bar when I was a kid. The sin is failing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:36, I believe it's the last verse in John chapter 3. I believe it's verse 36. He said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's our problem. Our problem is not abortion or homosexuality or any of these other things. Those are false issues that the devil has brought up to get our mind off of that which is the problem. Jesus said the problem is failing to believe on him. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere. Red, yellow, black, and white. Republican, Democrat, independent, agnostic, anything there is. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's the issue. We got all this mess going on, and it's not at all Christian. Ain't got a thing in the world to do with godly religion and Christianity. Listen, of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. Verse 10, John 16. Of righteousness. Why? Because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. If I go back to my Father, and since I do go back to my Father, he says, he hath imputed or placed your sin upon me, that he might place my righteousness upon you. So if I go back, or when I go back to my Father, you will know that all these lies that's been told upon me, he's a wine bibber and a glutton, he's not the Messiah, all these lies they told, you know they're not true. Why? Because I'm back with my Father. And if my Father hath received me, Father God, Almighty God, Creator God, I am that I am God, has received me, how can you reject me? So the Holy Spirit will convince the world of your sin because you believe not on the Son. He shall convince the world of righteousness by showing that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God because he's been received of the Father. How do you know he was received of the Father? You ask good questions. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 33. How do you know that Jesus Christ has been received of the Father? Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. The Bible says, well, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. The proof that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God exalted, he's at the right hand of the Majesty on high, he is presently reigning Lord, he must reign until death is overcome. We understand he is at by the right hand of God exalted because he shed forth this, the Holy Ghost. Has the world received the Holy Ghost? Did the Holy Ghost come on Pentecost? Yes. Then what conclusion can you draw? Jesus said, as soon as I get back to heaven, I am going to send, if I depart, I will send him unto you. Is Jesus a liar? God forbid. No. He is the very essence of truth. He is the very word of God. Then did he say something that he is incapable of? No. All power is given me in heaven and in earth. What did he say? If I depart, did he depart? Yes. I will send him unto you. John 16:7. So the Holy Spirit has been sent, so it shows that Jesus departed and made it back to the Father. He will convince you of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ because the Holy Ghost has come. And the third thing, verse 11 of John 16, he will convince the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, not shall be judged. The prince of this world is judged. John chapter 12 and verse number 31. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. When? When I be lifted up on the cross. This he said, signifying what death he should die. John 12, 33. Did Jesus die that death? Yes. Was the world convinced of judgment at that time? Yes. And how did it happen? The prince of this world was cast out at the cross. Satan was defeated. He has destroyed him that had the power of death. How did he do it? Through death he destroyed him that had the power of death. Christ's death destroyed Satan's ability to bring sin and death and shame upon God's people. So judgment was reestablished. Justice was forever established in the eternal courts of glory. Dear soul, if God renders you not guilty, there's not a power on earth or in heaven or in hell that can render you guilty. If God has made you free, you shall be free indeed. God shall show you by the Holy Ghost coming, number one, that our sin has been dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to believe in him. How shall he convince the world of sin? Because we believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe he's the Messiah. Well, now that the Holy Ghost has come, 3,000 Jews on Pentecost there in Jerusalem were born again and received the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as their eternal Messiah. He convinced the world of sin. He convinced the world of righteousness, because Jesus Christ made it back to the Father, and the Father hath said he is righteous. Therefore, he is righteous indeed, and all those who will believe on him shall have his righteousness, which is, quote, the righteousness of God, unquote, imputed to them. And so he said he shall also convince the world of judgment. What a mess. What a mess. We are in a mess in this nation. Lies and conniving and cheating and stealing and carrying on. People trying to have the upper hand in our nation. Not interested in serving the people of America for what they said they wanted to do when they asked for our vote. Get up there and they do something entirely different. Dear soul, we need judgment to be reestablished in our hearts. I don't have any hope that judgment will ever be reestablished in America, but I have hope that God will reestablish judgment and justice in the hearts of every one of his elect that he saves by the glory of God and by the blood of the Lamb of God applied by the Holy Spirit. Thank God that we have judgment and justice and peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace I give unto you. In the world you shall have tribulation. Boy, that's the truth. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you can have peace that passes all understanding. I understand all that's going on in America. I understand all the ungodliness that we are required to live among in America. But my peace, that is Christ's peace in my heart, goes beyond that. It passes that understanding. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. I understand all this mess is going on, but don't bother me. I got peace in my soul because Jesus gave it to me, and I'm not going to let anybody disturb it. Isn't that good? I will depart. It's needful for you that I go away. And I want you to know something. As soon as I get back home, I'm not going to be so caught up with having Gabriel and Michael and all the archangels and all the saints of God and Abraham and Paul and all those saints of God rushing to me and pat me on the back and glad you're home, and that I forget what I'm there for. I promise you that if I depart, I will send him unto you. And dear soul, the thing that makes us understand and know that Jesus did depart, Jesus did make it back to the Father, that Jesus Christ is as righteous as he says he is, and he is the righteous Son of God. Without blemish, without spot, he is the perfect, holy Son of God. How do you know? Because the Spirit of God hath come and witnessed it in our hearts. The Father hath received him. He's convinced the world of Christ's righteousness, because if God says he's righteous, then, honey, he's righteous. I don't care what anybody else says. God said he's righteous. He's righteous. And this is all done by the Holy Spirit. Now, go on down to verse number 12. We're reading John 16. We started with verse 7. We're down to verse 12 now. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. The problem was not in the voice. The problem was in the ear. It wasn't that Jesus didn't know these many things. It wasn't that he couldn't enunciate these things. It is in the same spirit of love and concern for you, for his disciples, for his people, that without the Holy Spirit, you can't properly interpret what I'm going to say to you. At the very end, in Acts chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9 through there, the disciples were still arguing about the kingdom of Israel. And Jesus wouldn't answer them. And dear soul, he said later, the kingdom of God is among you. It's the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It's not going to be somebody like David or Solomon or whoever riding down through the streets of Jerusalem on a big white horse with a mighty army following him and reestablishing Israel as the world ruler. It's going to be a spiritual kingdom. And he says, the kingdom of God cometh without observation. And he said, I want to tell you something, Luke chapter 17. If anybody says, lo, look over here, here's the kingdom of God, don't believe them. Read it. It says that. Jesus said, believe them not. He said, they're going to come and say, look, the kingdom of God is over there. Believe them not. He said, the kingdom of God cometh without observation. Dear soul, John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind blows where it wills. You can hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes and whether it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to move in a mysterious way, and the only way you're going to know that it's the work of the Holy Spirit is when he works in your heart. And so you can stand and testify and say, I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was unrighteous and unholy and ungodly, but God has established my feet on the solid ground, and I am established on the rock of Christ's revealed faith. I was lost and undone without God or his Son, but God reached down his hand for me. Oh, listen to our wondrous story. Once we dwelt among the lost, yet Jesus came from heaven's glory, saving us at awful cost. What did he do? He died for you. Where is he now? In heaven, interceding. How glorious that is to be able to be a human being on this earth. Yes, we're plagued with diseases in our nation. Yes, we're plagued with thieves and people who lie to us and scammers who are scamming billions, that's with a B, billions of dollars from people in America by these scams from these people that and these thieves that have been turned loose on us. But dear soul, of no regard, Jesus Christ has saved my wretched soul. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Who can do that? You listen, I may lose my bank account, but I can't lose my eternal glory. It's Romans chapter 5. Here I am stuttering and stumbling. Let me see if I can find it real quick and read it to you. by whom also we have access by faith, by the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Right now, I'm rejoicing because of grace and faith. But faith has a twin sister. Her name is hope. And we have assured hope that we will be able to have the glory of God one day. That can't be taken away from me. You can't scam that away from me. You can't steal that from me. Lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where rust cannot corrupt. Listen, dear soul, Jesus Christ has given us that which cannot be taken away from us, cannot be removed from us, and he's done it because he said he would. I'm going to the Father. Soon as I get there, I'm going to have him send the Holy Spirit. Did the Holy Spirit come? Yes. How do you know? What do you know by that? Jesus made it back to heaven. Dear soul, is the Holy Ghost come? Yes. What do you know by that? That Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. What do you know by that? That the Holy Ghost has come. He has convinced me of my sin. He convinced me of my need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he convinced me of Christ's ability to deal with that sin in such a way that it shall never be remembered by God ever again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How do you know the Lord has got back into eternal glory? Because he has established a judgment in my heart and there is peace. And I understand the order of God. Let all things be done decently and in order. I know on earth when things are out of order in my community, in my nation, in my family, in my own life. Because God has established judgment and made me understand and know what judgment is all about. How? By sending the Holy Spirit. How did he send the Holy Spirit? By getting back to heaven. Did not he say that it was expedient for you that I go away? Yes. And he did all these things for us. So, and then in verse number 13, after he said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He said, howbeit, you're not going to be at a loss because you cannot bear them now. Your little receiver can't tune in the broadcast that I need to send to you. But I'm not going to let you miss out. You say, well, you know, I wasn't there when they passed out the gifts, and so I didn't get one. No, that ain't true. Dear soul, it doesn't matter how deficient we were as individuals. Jesus Christ shall make sure that everybody that is elect of God shall receive the Holy Spirit. For no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All of us who are God's redeemed people have the gift of the Holy Spirit within us. You will not be without him. Listen, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How much truth? All truth. You say, well, I don't know about this or that yet. Well, the Holy Spirit will teach you in good time. You just wait on the Lord. He will eventually bring you to it and bring it to you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself. Dear soul, if anybody is trying to bring glory to themselves, it's not of the Holy Spirit. Get away from them. You need to come and experience this evangelist. I wouldn't travel 5 inches to go hear that evangelist. I don't want to experience him. Can he get me to Jesus? Can he get Jesus to me? Can he be used for my edification? Then I want to hear him. But this old the Holy Spirit himself will not speak of himself or from himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I don't know how to live for God. The Lord saved me, but I don't know what to do next. The Holy Spirit will show you how to walk with God. He will show you things to come. He will make you understand and see what is the Christian way. Dear soul, the poor Old Testament Christian who was in that transitional period in the days of John the Baptist, there was the prophets prophesied until John the Baptist. John the Baptist has come now, and he preaching the kingdom of God has come. They said, we don't know what to do. Revelation chapter 5. I wept much. Why? The veil in the temple has been split in two. The Holy of Holies has been polluted. It's been opened up. It's not what it used to be. God is changing the priesthood. God is changing the temple. God is revealing to us Hebrews 10:19 and 20, a new way and a living way, a new way. I don't know how to live for God. I wept much. He said, don't weep. Why? Look yonder. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book. And when I looked, I saw it as a lamb that had been slain, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit, and he will show you things to come. The whole New Testament is recovering and transitioning even those old Hebrews and Jews that were required to live under those pageants and under all of those different things that they had, the traditions that they had to go through, over to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was done by the Holy Spirit. And so he said, he'll show you things to come. I don't know how to live for God, you say. Maybe your family wasn't raised in church. Maybe if it was raised in church, it wasn't raised in a good church. And all you've got is old humanistic religion and tradition. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He will guide your feet. They shall all be taught of God. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. There's not many ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You say, well, what about that fellow that was raised in over yonder in India in 1600? Was he born again? You can't be born again without the Spirit. I just quoted you John 3:8. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. If he's in heaven right now and he's in direct communion and he's not out of step with the Apostle Paul or with Jeremiah or Isaiah or David or anybody else, God is going to bring his children home. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Revelation 14:4, I think. So we understand and see, dear soul, the Holy Spirit is the one that shall guide us into all truth, into the only way. He is going to reveal unto us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 13, John 16. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, and Jesus said, I am the truth. So it's the Spirit of Jesus. Is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of or from himself. But whatsoever he shall hear. The Holy Spirit is listening. Yes. To whom is he listening? To God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all one. You can't separate them. Listen. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, and here is our lesson. Finally, we got down to it. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. What is it for the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified? That word glorified is the same word honor. In John 8:54, he shall honor me. It's the same word magnify in Romans 11:13. He shall magnify me. The one thing that every believer has, I don't care if he's Chinese or Russian or Albanian or even an American, whoever he is, English or Spanish or Italian or whatever nation he was raised in, whenever he's, one thing that he has in common with all the rest of God's people throughout all the universe and throughout all time is they all have the understanding of Jesus Christ's glory and honor. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit. And no man will call Jesus accursed that has the Spirit. That's the one thing you have in common. I don't care if you spoke English. I don't care if you spoke Spanish or whatever you spoke, whatever language. It doesn't make any difference. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall glorify me. That was what was needed. Why? Because we lost the glory. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. What is sin? Coming short of the glory of God. Now, we have religion without the Holy Spirit. Carnal religion. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Dear soul, religion apart from the Holy Spirit will send you to hell quicker than anything I know. The disciples, Jesus would said, I'm not going to leave you like this. I know there's no need of me trying to teach you anymore. Don't ever try to teach people Bible truth apart from the Holy Spirit's revelation. It's a killer. The Bible said in the book, what is it, of Corinthians, he said I'll get it in a minute. He talks about the letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit of the word that giveth life. That's what God wants us to have. 2 Corinthians 3:6, I think it is. Let's see if that's it. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. All of the apostles, all of the apostles and the disciples, you put disciples and apostles together and you get disposals. Okay. All of the apostles and disciples and teachers that were sent forth by the Holy Spirit, every one of them was given a revelation of the new covenant, of the new contract, of the new testament, of that which was of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why? Finish reading the verse. 2 Corinthians 3:6. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit giveth life. 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells you that the Word of God is not in, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Dear soul, COVID shut down a lot of the Bible conferences that were going on. You say, well, that's a terrible thing. Really? What if they had degenerated down to just men giving facts and basic truths and the letter of the law? Oh, it was good truth. It was truth. It didn't go contrary to the Bible, but it wasn't 100 miles of the Holy Spirit. So what were they doing? They were killing, destroying, and raising up hypocrites and bringing in people who were so given to legalistic morality that you couldn't hardly stand up to be around them. They got so many do's and don'ts, and they were so critical of everybody else. How did they get that? They got it by the preaching of the word apart from the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear soul, listen, I would rather have some old country preacher that never even knew how to read until God called him and saved him, and he learned how to read by reading the Bible, to get up there and with his bad English preach to me with the Holy Spirit attending him, than have Dr. Bottlestopper come with all of his education and his polish and tell me all, you know, of the great things of the scriptures that he knows about. He can tell you about the ontological Trinity. And he can tell you about the eschatological, you know, whatever. He just about knows how many hairs in that horse's tail in the book of the Revelation. I don't want to know all that. You go to hell with that. The letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit of the word that giveth life. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ told the woman at the well in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, dear soul, in verse 23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, not in Jerusalem or in Samaria. He said, y'all are wrong, you Samaritans are wrong. That ain't going to be the way it is. But the Jews are wrong too. Because everybody that holds up physical, natural, literal Jerusalem don't know what they're talking about. The word of God is to be received in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. You're not really worshiping God, and you're really not being sought of God to worship him, except you worship in spirit and in truth. Next verse. For God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It must be by the Holy Ghost. It must be truthful, yes. We don't want anybody up here telling us things that's not true. But I don't want to hear truths apart from the Spirit of God. It's got to be with spirit and truth. Dear soul, we see that we have been used mightily to train this nation in humanistic morality and separated us from God while we thought that we were walking with God and doing a good work. Bible colleges and Bible schools, apart from the Holy Spirit, have been a detriment to the spirituality of this nation and have brought this nation down. We have come to be a bunch of legalistic moralists telling everybody else what they ought to do, how we think everybody ought to live. But dear soul, we need to get back to God and get back to have Jesus Christ be glorified. He will convince the world of sin. If you're not convinced of your sin, you shouldn't be in a pulpit or behind a podium to teach a class. You need to be led of the Spirit. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be called of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is the administrator of grace and faith and administrator of the church. How did you find this out? Because I was a moralist. I was accepted in a church membership for 7 long years, lost as a snake. Didn't know God from third base, but could tell everybody else how to live their life. And then God saved me. And the Holy Spirit came and convinced my world of sin and convinced me of the righteousness of Christ, that righteousness that I did not have at that time. But now my righteousness is not my righteousness. It's an imputed righteousness granted to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself had to have my sin imputed to him. He convinced me of sin. He convinced me of righteousness, and he reestablished a spiritual judgment within myself and helped me to understand and see and say, it was me, Lord. I was like the feller smiting his breast and saying, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what this is all about. So he shall glorify me. Now, let me give you two things. This is the entirety of the message. Two things that I want you to know. Number one, to have Christ's true and to have Christ's truth spiritually, to have Christ and have him true and to have him spiritually depends upon the Holy Spirit. He depends entirely upon the Holy Spirit. If you have Christ's truth and you have Christ's truth spiritually, you got it entirely and exclusively by the Holy Spirit. You can't have Christ's truth spiritually except by the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. Second thing is, to have Christ's Holy Spirit depends entirely on Christ's glory. If you have truth, if you worship God in spirit and in truth, like we read you in John chapter 4, verses 23, 24, if you have God's truth spiritually speaking, you had it solely, exclusively, by none other than the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. That's an absolute. You can't have spiritual truth except by the Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, you can't have the Holy Spirit except upon seeing Christ's glory. Those are the two things. I remember hearing an old preacher, and he had a message that he always reverted back to it in some way or another, almost in every message he preached. He didn't preach the same exact message over and over, but this was involved in it one way or another. And that was, no sinner was ever saved without seeing the glory of the cross. When I first heard that, it bothered me. I thought seeing the glory was, some awesome experience. And it is, but not like I thought. And I had the privilege of sitting under that man at different times over the years, and here would come that same tune that he would always sing. If you are born again, you had to have seen the glory of the cross. What did he mean by that? There are people in hell right now that wore necklaces that had a gold or silver cross hanging on it. There are people in hell right now that made that sign of the cross all their life. There are people in hell right now that had Bibles and that believed in the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was put to death on a Roman cross. But there's not one single soul in hell right now that could see the benefit of the cross in their life. Number one, the Spirit of God showed them the glory of Christ by showing them themselves. He shall reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. Not one single soul is in hell that said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. They saw the glory of Christ, and it showed them themselves. The glory of Christ reveals yourself to you. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, dear soul, not a single soul is in hell that saw the glory of Christ by the Holy Spirit. You cannot see Jesus. We are fond in America of Easter Bunny Jesus. We're fond in America of having a baby in a manger Jesus. We're fond in America of having a dead Jesus on the cross. But how many people, and dear soul, that's the broad way. How many people are on this narrow way? Few there be that find it that can see the glory of Jesus. If you see the glory of Jesus without exception, you will bow your unworthy head and you will bow your unworthy heart, for the Holy Spirit will have shown you not only the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, but why he's so great to you. Because you are a great sinner. Because I am a great sinner. If I am not a great sinner, I can just get by with a little two for a nickel, Jesus. Well, come down the aisle, 12 o'clock on Sunday, sign these cards, get your tithing envelopes, come to Wednesday night or Thursday night new converts class down in the basement of the church for 4 weeks, and you're fine. You're in heaven. Oh, my soul. And there's no honor to the Lord Jesus Christ in that at all. You didn't say you was a sinner. You say, I'm not a church member. I'm not baptized. Wait a minute. You're just dealing with a religious organization. You just want to be a member of a religious organization? Die and go to hell with them on the Broadway. But, dear soul, if you get to wanting God in so much that, like Nicodemus, you skin your breeches coming down that tree and get splinters in your leg getting down off that tree and saying, Lord, I will return unto those that I've stolen from 4 times more than what I took. If you get to wanting Jesus in so much that you confess yourself to be a lost and undone sinner without God and without hope in this world, and you say that there's nobody that can help me except Jesus of Nazareth. You don't know Jesus of Nazareth. He died 2,000 years ago. That was before your granddaddy got here. You never have seen him. How can you say that Jesus of Nazareth is the only one that can save me? By the Holy Ghost. He shall take of mine and show it unto you. And in doing so, He, the Holy Ghost, will magnify. He, the Holy Ghost, will honor me. And in honoring me, He will show you your need for me. If I never had a problem, how would I know God could solve them? Dear soul, if I'm not a sinner, I don't need a Savior. But if I see the Savior and see His glory, He's not just a figment of religious tradition. He is the Savior. He is the Shepherd. Then that makes me, in order to deal with Him, I become a sheep. How did He come to have me in His fold? I was lost. He left the 99 and came out to where I was and brought me back on His shoulder. If you see yourself as a lost sinner, hopeless without God and without hope in this world, the Holy Ghost did that, and dear soul, you are already quickened unto life, and you already have the Holy Spirit to give you a new heart. And I'm going to tell you something that an old preacher told me a long time ago, and now it's mine, I believe it. No sinner ever wanted a new heart till he already had one. A dead man can't say, I'm lost and undone. when God quickens and makes you alive and you wake up in that tomb and you smell the death and the rotten and corruption, rot and corruption all around you, like Lazarus, you are listening for the voice. Loose him and let him go. Come forth, Lazarus. The stone is rolled away already. God's already made the way for you to come out, and he gives the sovereign command for you to come out, and although you're still bound in grave clothes, you come floating out of there, and you're so glad that Jesus said, now loose him and let him go. God, take off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes, and you're so thankful for it. But dear soul, while you were dead in trespasses and sin, you didn't care. While you're dead in trespasses and sin, you can tell everybody else what to do. Wasn't me. But Lord, but listen, dear soul, when God saved you, he quickened you and made you alive, you say, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. How did you come to that? The Holy Spirit had glorified Jesus to you. That's what that old preacher was talking about. I had seen the cross. Not actually, I've never been to the Holy Land, that is, over there in Jerusalem and so forth. No. And even if I did, I couldn't see the cross where he died. But dear soul, the Holy Spirit showed me the glory and the greatness and the magnitude of Jesus, and he showed me that he was talking to me when he said, it is expedient for you that I go. How wonderful and how precious he was to say that. I'm going away, but let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? I am God. Believe in me the same way. You believed in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Well, that's me. Abraham saw my day, John 8, 56, 58. And he was glad. I am that I am. And I am very God of very God. And I am very man of very man. And you see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not just another religious figure. And I can't stand it when I hear Chris Christopherson sing about Martin Luther King and these others as being equal to the Lord Jesus Christ. That song he sings, and Gandhi and all those that he exalts and says, you know, Jesus was among them as a prophet. I hope I hadn't just messed up and hurt your feelings about your favorite country singer. But listen, dear soul, we're going to have to get beyond the religious Jesus. We're going to have to get beyond the historical Jesus. You're going to have to come to see the glorious Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Isn't that good? You're going to have to understand and see that his name is above every name in this world and also in the worlds to come. Quit trusting in religious names and come to bow only to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save you. He said, the Holy Spirit shall glorify me. That's the way that it is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom say ye? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who's everybody saying that I am? It's an eye-opener to hear who people back then thought he was. And some said, well, you know, I was at the cafeteria the other day getting me a cup of coffee for breakfast, and I heard a man say, that's John the Baptist. Well, others said, well, I was at the marketplace the other day, and I heard a man say, he is Elijah. Another said, well, no, he's Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jesus said, well, that's all, you know, the people talking and saying who I am. Now, let me ask you this. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to this next verse, and this will close our lesson. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. You've been blessed to know that. There's been a spiritual blessing put upon you, Simon, son of Jonah, because it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. You're going to have to answer the question, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? You can get out your little religious tract and read off of it and give an answer. You can quote, like a parrot saying, Polly want a cracker, your favorite little cliche that you learned in Bible school, vacation Bible school. But there's all... You need to answer according to the revelation of the Holy Ghost in your heart. Has the Holy Ghost glorified Christ to you? Are you blessed to be able to say, I have a revelation of Jesus Christ to my heart? It makes me know that I am a sinner. It makes me know that Christ is righteous. And reestablished a judgment and an order in my mind and heart so that I do all things decently and in order from now on. And do you have the Holy Spirit to answer through you and for you, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? I trust and hope and pray, dear soul, that this lesson has been a blessing to you. And even though with my stumblings and stutterings and delays of trying to think of words, it hadn't bothered you, but the Holy Spirit has come and has glorified Christ in your heart and mind. God bless you.